Thank you, Douglas.
There we go.
It's for me a privilege to be able to share this morning. And yes, I don't have a doctor's degree. Purely on the Holy Spirit. But it's always for me awesome. Because before I'm able to come and stand here, God must have birthed something in my heart first. And that's always exciting for me. It's when He comes, and when I say, Lord, here's an opportunity again. I want to be a vessel. I want to be used by You. And God comes, and He comes and puts something down. Always faithful. Always faithful. And for that, I honor Him. So I know, if I keep on challenging myself, keep on being willing to come and stand here, allowing His Spirit to work through me, mighty things can happen. Not because of me, because of who He is in me. I just allow Him. So it's my privilege. And I would like to share with you this morning what He's laid on my heart. And it's about faith. Faith, a life principle. Now, this is something, and I know we sang this morning about how good is our God. But even through this week, we experienced, and I've heard the stories of how children of God, believers, are being challenged, are being confronted with all kinds of afflictions. We all have a story to tell. And if I stand here this morning and I want to tell you, I want to speak something or share something with you about faith. It's not just head knowledge. I want to share something. Douglas has challenged us, Robert earlier in Afrikaans service, to speak from our hearts, from our own experience. So I'm going to ask you to bear a little bit with me because I'm going to share something out of my life, what I've discovered about faith. Because the one thing is, like we sang this morning, when you sing, you're a good, good father. But come Monday, come Tuesday, when the challenges come, then it's not always so easy to sing that. So in general, for Christians, I think we understand the principle that faith, it's like it says, is a life principle. We have scriptures that tell us the righteous will walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. But when you're confronted every day with all kinds of challenges, even this morning, sharing with some of our fellow members, hearing the heartache in their lives, the challenges that they've got to go through. And like I said, in my own life, I have stories to tell. And I think if we give the mic to each one of you can tell something about faith. Maybe how you've been successful, maybe how you've failed. For me, this September I'll be turning 53. And it took me most of those 53 years to come to comprehend truly, and I don't think I have it all, so I'm still on a journey myself. But I want to share something with you that what I've learned, what God has shown me through heartache and pain, something about faith and what faith means. So I want to this morning actually, I almost want to say it's an equation. It's almost a mathematical thing, but it's not truly. I have that slide on there. At the bottom, I've got a blackboard there full of equations and things. And sometimes our lives are like that. We've got these all sort of quotations, how we've been trying to work out our faith, our Christian life, how to walk it. Because it's one thing to sing it, one thing to understand it up here in our minds, but it's another to live it out when it feels like everything is going wrong. And it's so that we have this default setting in our lives that we think that when things go wrong, I must have done something wrong. It's so entrenched in us. If we're experiencing challenges and things are not going our way, as we think it should be going, then we think, Lord, where have I missed it? But I've discovered this thing that for me in my own life, and not going to share, but in my life I lost two fathers. Both of them, men that followed God with their whole hearts. So I actually had the privilege of having had two fathers. Not talking about my heavenly father, but my earthly fathers. Had my biological father, which died at the age when I was 15. Through cancer. In the most horrible way. Literally had to see him as a young man, how my father's body were being broken down, dying day by day. These were the things that challenged my faith from a very young age. And going through that then, my mother decided she wanted to marry again. And I remember so well going through this phase of rebellion, not wanting to accept this new father. I've just gotten over my first father, my biological father. Though he served God faithfully in everything, I couldn't, there's not one thing I can say that where my father wasn't a total example for me. Went over and beyond. And then God took him away in the most horrific way, really. And I didn't really fully understand all of that. But I pressed on and went on. And so my stepdad came. And there was that rebellion phase, and it made me end up in boarding school. Only human. I don't know, in some way I think I was trying to make up maybe for my dad, wanting to show that, hey, I'm not just pushing him away, but maybe missing in a greater blessing that God had. You see, I haven't totally understood everything. Like Robert said this morning, a David, maybe first he had to defend against a jackal. It was good, Robert. Then there was the lion, and then there was a bear. God takes you through seasons to build you up. But then my second dad, serving God 100%, couldn't ask for a better stepdad. When I got over my rebellion, I could accept his love. Got out of the boarding school. And he encircled me with love, showed me what a father is, a truly earthly father. And I know not all of us had it. I've been privileged to have it twice in my life. But then the terrible thing again, also fell sick. Had him for about 20 years of my life. And cancer came again in the most horrific way and took his life. Really, he was a man of over 6 feet tall, 6 feet two, I think he was. At the end, he was so frail. I remember the last time I carried him in my hands, that massive man. I could pick him up as a young man of 26 and carry him in my arms to an ambulance. That rocks your faith. Then it's difficult to sing, baby, and then you're being really challenged. Just a little bit of that. So if I tell you this morning I'm on a journey myself and I want to share something about faith, I truly believe it comes out of my heart, going through pain. I have walked the road. I'm not asking you this morning to go where I haven't gone. I've experienced something myself. Cutting my life short, fast forwarding. At the moment, I work for myself. I've got a construction and building business. And for those people that work for themselves will know. Boy, oh boy, you've got to have faith. In the building construction, it's like you start every month at zero. You build up. There's no recurring business. Like Hank will understand about recurring business. So I had to learn faith the hard way. And sometimes, and I can tell you, like in this last year, and it's not to boast, I'm trying to give you perspective that what I want to, and I'm going to come now to what I want to share with you. But you have some understanding that in this last year, we had, in the building industry, and I think most of you, but in the economical industry and in general, you'll know that it's been very tight. But for the building industry, like for 5 months, we had no work. Like nothing. Not even a quotation to do. There was nothing. I felt like, what's it, Habakkuk, that says there was no grapes in the vine. There was nothing in the kraal. It's empty. And if I stand here this morning, I can't even begin to tell you how God took us as a family through this last 5 months. It's about a miracle upon miracle. But it's teaching me in that something that I want to share with you this morning. That there's so much more to faith. And if God tells you that He's calling you to a rest, it's something very deep, it's something very profound. Because you can't be at your best. You can't be a blessing to the world if there's a storm raging within you. And that storm can have different trigger points. The economy, your family, your marriage. We can find lots of reasons to something to create and stir a storm up within you. That's not the issue. But God calls you if He says, come into my rest. He says that amidst all of that you're experiencing. Can I lead you to a place? Can you find yourself? It's like in the eye of a storm, in a hurricane. I've never been there. They say there's an eye. where there's like in this raging storm all around you, there's a spot where it's totally quiet, like not even a wind blowing. In my heart, I see that is where God wants us. Amidst of whatever's going on around you, not to be rocked, but to find you in that spot, in His place of rest. And that's what the disciples also discovered in a very difficult test on that little boat in the storm, fearing and seeing these massive waves all around them, Jesus lying asleep. He understood the principle of faith. They haven't discovered yet that you will never be able to speak to a storm out there if the storm inside of you hasn't been quiet first. You can only address the waves. You can only address the winds and whatever's going on around you if you have been settled within the first place. You find yourself in that place of rest, of calm, knowing who you are, what you are, and in who you anchored. Amen. So, too much. This equation, faith, trust, and surrender. What I discovered and learned with tears and heartache. And I discovered within that faith equals trust equals surrender. It's like they're entrenched. These three things are intertwined. It's faith, but it's also trust, and it's also surrender. It's all making up this one. But I want to unpack it this morning just quickly for you. Take faith, take trust, and take surrender. And that is what I've discovered in this. And I think this last year, I've been the best at it. I think I'm finally coming closer to where when the storm raids, I can remain calm. And when I was challenged with this, preparing for the sermon this morning, God really, I tell you, we've been away, we've been blessed. Douglas arranged for us a whole weekend away. On that 4 days that we were away, sorry, I'm bubbling over, but God's, in that 4 days, every morning God woke me at 3 o'clock. Can you believe it? I'm on holiday, I can relax. 3 o'clock, I'm wide awake. So what I do, I go and I sit there, and the Lord has just been opening my own life for me. Coming to a place of rest where you just tune down a little bit and say, let's just pause, take time out, and see what amazing things God's do. So, this was part of that in that 4 days. He formed some of this and told me, this is the things that I've been telling you. You took so long. 53 years, my oh my. The Israelites, 40 years. I can understand what the Lord says. Yeah, my people are a stubborn people. We are sometimes we're just plainly stubborn. But I want to share. Hopefully I can spare you a couple of years. So may something drop in your spirit. Three realizations that I got in those three words. Number one, you are going to have to make up your mind. That was the one realization that I had to do. Number two, you are going to have to take action. Made up your mind? Now, put it to the test. There's something's going to happen from that decision. And the last one, you are not going to be in control. Boy, oh boy, and are we control freaks? So, that's maybe why it took me 53 years. And still learning. So the first one, I want to share with you about faith quickly. Faith, the most wonderful verse, the chapter all about faith, Hebrews 11 verse 1. There we go. Got the two scriptures. Robert also used them this morning. Now faith, and I read from the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hope for. Divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as a fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. This is a mouthful. I'm going to explain now. Then verse 6, for me, another profound verse that really struck my heart is, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please Him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. Can you start to understand why I say somewhere you're going to have to make up your mind now? So in my life, I had to come to a point where I'm either just going to read these things and they sound good and we can sing them. I'm going to really have to make up my mind about this. I either believe it or not. There's no doubting. There's no maybe. There's not a yes or no. In my own life, lying on the carpet in my study, crying about things and why and what and all of these, we ask the wrong questions. We focus on the wrong area. We're looking at the storm and trying to find somehow an answer within the storm. I had to make up my mind that as we sang this morning, that God is a good, good God, that He truly loves me. He knows exactly who and what I am. The number of my hairs, the hairs on my head are counted. That's how well He knows me. And that He's going to come through for me no matter what. So either I take that words and all those truths in the Word of God and I make it my own and say, yes. And that is for me the faith part. It's mostly up here. Yes. Got to make a decision. That's why I got on that slide that everything is on the mind. It's the battlefield. It's where the enemy attacks you. It's in the mind. If he can get you to doubt, to look at the storm, to start reasoning why, what, and Lord, this doesn't make sense. I've done this A, B, C. Really tried. Hard on my side. But we're missing it. Not about us. But number one, get your mind right. You've got to make up your mind. And then, I want to move on to the next one. If you manage to make up your mind, says, Lord, these scriptures, I truly believe you exist. And not only do you exist, like verse 6 of Hebrews 1 says, but yet you are a rewarder. And then when Paul speaks in Romans 8, verse 28, and he says that all things will work out for the good. For those who love him and are called by his purposes, you can make it your own and claim it. But there's something about you've got to love him. He's got to be real for you. And you've got to believe with this thing where the enemy attacks you that you've made up your mind. Like James says, you can't be like this wave that are tossed to and fro by the wind. If the west wind blows, there you go to the western side. Then it's south, and then it's north. The one that you believed the other day, you're not sure. You've got to make up your mind. Then, just before I move on to trust, I wonder, actually, this was for me wonderful. I got this scripture in the King James Version. And I want to end with the faith part of this one here. And it sums it up for me wonderfully. In 1 Peter 1 verse 13, it says, wherefore, gird up the lines of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is being brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, I know. No one talks about girding up your lines anymore. I don't know, a lot of us don't even know maybe, but it's a military term. It's an old ancient military term. It's actually roughly translated as, hey, fasten your pants. Put on your seat belts. There's an enemy coming. That's why I've got that soldier there. His mind better be made up. He cannot stand there. Okay, I'm standing here, and I'm cautiously optimistic. I think I've taken the right position. I think I know what I'm fighting for. I mean, he's lost the battle before it even started. But if you can see, he's taken in position. He's looking the enemy in the face. He says, I'm going to attack you like this. He's strategizing. And that's what this verse telling says. Hey, fasten your pants, man. Get your mind straight. Get into the moment here. This is how we fight our battle. This is the strategy. All right. That's the first part of faith. I want to move on to trust. And trust, I want to use the following scripture. John 13, 14, verse 1. Also in the Amplified. As Jesus speaking here, he says, do not let your heart be troubled, afraid. He says, cowardly. Oh, that hurts. Believe confidently in God and trust in Him. Have faith, hold on to it, rely on it, keep going, and believe also in me. So this scripture here tells me something about, all right, you've made up your mind. You've quoted the scripture. You sang the song. Now I want you to prove it to me. This is where the trust part comes in. It's where your faith are being put to the test. We all gone through school, I hope so. You know, to go from one standard to the next one, you gotta pass the test. One thing to say something with your mind, it's another to prove that what you believe, you can stand in it, and I've still got that soldier there. Not being cautiously optimistic. But this is my decision, I'm going to stand by it. No matter what. And then you can say like Habakkuk, although there's nothing hanging in the trees. It's barren. There's nothing. But still I will believe in my God because I've made up my mind. He is a good God. He knows the best for me. He loves me. And He's promised me that all things will work for the good. The end has been fixed. No matter the current reality, the facts. Yes, I know. It says this and it says that. But the truth is the reality. That's what's going to stay. It's His word. It's what's going to remain. He says everything's going to fall away except for His word. So if that is part of it, then you've got to come to this trust part where in everything that happens to you, you're going to stand firm at your post. And it means that your faith, Robert also explained it very nicely this morning, your faith got to have some action, works linked to it. There need to be fruit from this faith that you proclaim. Otherwise, you're just another group that has certain beliefs. But we look at your lives and we see that. The world is tired of people saying one thing and living another thing. Speaking to us as Christians. Sunday we are full of power, full of energy. But come into the work when we are challenged to stand up, then we fade a little bit. We become 007s. No, he's too arrogant. He's not undercover. I think for me, the discovery was, and I want to jump to this scripture. It summed it up for me. Number one, Paul explains it very nicely in Ephesians 1, verse 19. Slide number 6, thanks. He says here, "And so you will know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His active spiritual power is in us who believe." I got those two pictures there. A while back I preached and I showed one of them. I said it was like a prophetic image I saw. And the best I could find on Google. I'm glad Robert also uses Google. I saw this picture. It's something of an explosion. I don't think we fully understand the immeasurable power of God inside of us. Wanting to burst out. Past ourselves. But here's the problem. Watchman Nee, the next slide, please, says the following thing in his book, The Spiritual Man. The next slide, please. Thanks. He says that faith is anchored in the one whom he believes, rather than in the one who exercises the believing. And just if you didn't understand it, he says that's himself. That's just making sure we get the point. You see, faith always is based on something or someone. It's not in you. Everyday faith, walking over a bridge, what do you trust? What do you have faith for? An engineer that you don't even know, never met, but you're going to walk over that bridge and you don't even think twice about it. Not about how good you are, how fast you can run over the bridge. You had to trust something, someone. And this scripture, when Paul speaks in 1 Ephesians 19 about this power that's inside. He says, trust becomes very easy if you understand who is within you. When that scripture says that he that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. Again, the thing of that, Is it just something, a saying? Is it just a verse that you've memorized? Can you live it out? All right. That's the trust part. For me, in my own life, if I can share, it meant that in my business, in my marriage, in my family and all the challenges, I had to come to the decision that I said, Lord Jesus, I declare your lordship over my business. You are my partner. I have to invite him in. That is the action steps that I took in my own life, in my business. I had to declare him Lord, and I had to invite him in. So in my business, when I take a decision, I trust him. And when a quotation for me, if a project doesn't come through, I rest in that he knew better. And there's a reason why this one didn't come through. I'm not going to cry and like, well, this would have been so, this would have solved so many problems. It's not about me. It's about who I trust and who I rely in. So I tell him, pray every morning, say, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I submit to you in everything that I do, in my marriage, in my family, in my work, and where I play. I submit everything to you. And I intentionally seek him to have relationship with him. This is about trust. Putting your trust in him, it means you've got to have a relationship with him. That verse we say in Hebrews 11, 6 said, number one, you've got to believe that he exists. You believe that, then you will seek a relationship with him. You won't carry on with your life and forget him. That's the trust part. It's how do you prove in your life that you truly believe what you say you believe? Amen. The last one. Surrender. Sometimes this is the most difficult one. That's why maybe for me, 53 years. But there's no better verse or scripture that explains this as Paul in Galatians 2, verse 20. When he says, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul says here, it's no longer me that live. And for us, I think this is the hardest one for me also was to actually lay everything down. And this is the part where it says that you are not going to be in control. God gives us a lot of wisdom. He gives us a sound mind to work things out and to plan the future and so. But when we put our minds and our own wisdom and our own thinking above his all-knowing, then we are in trouble. Then we are not surrendered. So I'm no longer serving myself in my work, in my marriage. I ask myself this thing, who am I serving here? What is my end goal? To please my Father, to submit to Jesus, his Son, which gave his life for me. Am I willing to do the same? When he gave his all, am I willing to do that? Or so many of us live according to, I've said this before, but according to terms and conditions. Every day, everything nowadays that you hear, when you see an advert or something being added, it's always T's and C's. There's always terms and conditions and everything in the world, in life. We've become so accustomed to that, we want to live our own lives according to terms and conditions. Lord, yes for this, but give some space here. This is a bit touchy. This is a little bit sensitive. My finances or whatever it is. But this last part about faith, if you really want to move into God's rest, you need to learn to surrender it all. No longer you. It's all about him. The very breath that's in our lungs, we sing the song, belongs to him. But we try to live for ourselves. We've got our own goals, our own dreams. And they are wonderful if they are aligned with what God's purpose is for your life. Because Romans 8:28 says that thing, for those that are called according to His plan and His purposes, then all things will work out for the good. But if you want to follow your own dreams, your own plans, your own agenda, your own terms and conditions, then you're going to have to settle the score. You're going to have to pay for your own vision. But God says, if I call you for something and I lead you somewhere, then I'll provide. I'll make the way. Even if I have to open up the Red Sea for you, I will do that. Because you are where I want you to be. And the only way to get there is to surrender. Totally surrender. Trusting Jesus to know the best. Allowing Him to lead you divinely, no matter what. Again, no matter the storm, how massive the storm, and I believe we all have massive stories to tell. Can we say, look, God created us with emotions. We have feelings. We are not dead. Not yet. Those that are sitting here. So we do have tears. Jesus also wept that time, so emotions come. But when emotions rule you, then you're in a red zone. So we can feel sad. God even says you can get angry. But He also says, don't go sleep angry then. Don't let that start to form your thinking, your actions, and who you become. You are not driven by emotions. You are driven by My Spirit. It's about handing over, surrendering to Him. I want to end off. So faith, trust, and surrender means you've got to have made up your mind. You had to take a decision, number one. Like I had to make a decision in everything of my life. Number two then, there's got to be action steps on that what you believe. And that can be many different things. As simple as just connecting to a small group, to a house group where you engage with His family. Can be small steps. Just starting to have quiet time. Allowing Him to, inviting Him in into your life, which you've never done maybe. I'll tell you, for me, it was like, I almost feel ashamed to share this with you, but I got to a place where I was so relaxed, I would, in at night, this is opening myself up, I lie in my bed and I forgot to pray. Lying in my bed, because David says in his sleep. But I stopped doing that. Because for me, it's become so real. The God that created the universe, everything that holds my life in His hand. How can I lie on my back and say, Lord? I fall on my knees and say, God, thank You. No matter what. I feel this. I have this tears. I have this pains. But I trust You. I love You. I know You love me back. And You showed it to me by giving Your only Son. He's no longer the only Son. He's invited us all in. But He did that with His firstborn. He gave Him for us so that we can partake. So the action step. What action steps are you going to take to prove your faith? Allow Him. And then the last one. You're not in control. So that is what Jesus called us to be. We need to become followers. Disciples. That's what a disciple is. It's not per se a leader, he's a follower. So we, as we're sitting here, are following Jesus. The Father said, follow My Son. I'm uplifting Him, it's through Him. I'm going to submit everything. So we submit to Him. We follow Him. We are Christ's disciples. And in that, by obeying, our action steps, some of our action steps is to make other disciples. To be a disciple, to make a disciple, to make a disciple. That's what He called us to do. So become a follower, number one, first. A surrendered life. And here's the thing then. And this is where I end off. I'm going to read one more scripture. But I want to end off with this. The evidence that you understood and you understand faith, which I'm hoping I'm coming closer to now, is that thing where I told you, if there can be peace and rest inside of you. Go read Hebrews chapter 3, where God says, I wanted you to come into my rest. He's talking to his children, the Israelites. They say, I took you out of Egypt. I wanted to bring you to rest. But they rebelled, and it's this, and it's that. And then God says today, and I'm going to read you now this wonderful invitation of Jesus. He says, I want you to come into my rest. But if you're disobedient, you don't follow me, you don't submit to me, it's on you, unfortunately. For the Israelites, it took 40 years to get to Canaan. It doesn't have to be 40 years. I end off with this last scripture, Matthew 11, 28. In the message, he says it so wonderfully. It's an invitation by Jesus. Listen to this. And maybe you can associate with this one. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me. What's how I do it? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lie anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So I want to close this morning. Maybe you're at different places on that 1, 2, 3. Your mind has been made up. You know all the verses. But there isn't all the proof, maybe, of that which you believe. And maybe there's still a bit of T's and C's in your life. But I don't want to let this morning go past, because I truly believe God had this message for this very moment, for this morning, for each and everyone that's sitting here. Those that are not here, God will speak them in a different way. But you are here this morning because you had to hear this message. If you truly believe that He's in control of everything, you've got to believe that He brought you here this morning. Maybe He didn't feel you. Maybe you think you made a decision. I want to say to you, God is more in control of your life than what you think. And He's keeping challenging you and challenging you. And some of us are like wide open, with wide open eyes, are being stubborn. Not acknowledging His Spirit when He speaks to us. So in Hebrews 3, that if you read that, He says, don't harden your heart when I call you today. Won't you listen, no matter where and what state you are? So I'm going to ask, won't you just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? If you are in a good place, well done. But there might be someone this morning that's not yet in a good place, and we want to give him an opportunity. And I want to help you with the first step then this morning. Will you just say, Lord, I submit my life. I surrender to you. Plan A, B, C, D, all of them has failed. There's nothing more. I'm dry. I'm empty. But I give it this morning to you. And no matter what Monday brings, tomorrow brings, I'll trust in you. I'm going to believe in you that your word is the truth. And you say that your word will remain. And your word won't return void. Father, I've made up my mind this morning. I take that word and I make it my own. And come, even this afternoon, there's certain action steps that I'm going to do. I'm going to have some quiet time and I'm going to put down, take a few decisions, take a few action steps in your life. Father, I'm going to start doing this and this. Maybe one, maybe two things just. Things that the Holy Spirit is already speaking into you, into your heart, where you know things that you need to put right. Let's do that and hand over and see the amazing things that God wants to do for you. Father, thank you this morning. Lord, I'm not even going to ask for hands to be raised because you know every heart here this morning. You know exactly where we are. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're the one that convicts. You're the one that softens the hearts. And I know it's not my words this morning, but it's by your Spirit speaking to hearts. Lord, see these hearts bowing down before you, these hearts opening up to you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, won't you come in and fill them from the inside? Right from the moment of the service, we invited you, Holy Spirit, by worship, to connect to our spirit. Thank you that deep speaks unto deep at this very moment. Thank you for your love, for your mercy. Thank you that there's none of us that deserve anything. But you say in your word, there's no more condemnation. No more condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And we surrender our life to Him, to Christ Jesus, to the King of our lives, to the Lord of our lives. I thank you for that. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for speaking to us. And thank you that we want to take this word and make it our own. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, people.